You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd.
Minisode.
With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grading the Nerd. It's time for another mini-sode. Yeah, today we're going to talk about a couple trailers and a lot of news. So, yeah. Let's see. The first... Okay, we'll bookend with the trailers. Let's talk first about... Have you seen... You said... I think you said you saw bits and pieces, but of the Hitmonkey full trailer?
Just bits and pieces. Little bits and pieces, yeah.
Just when we thought that the Marvel television studio branch was dead and it was all moving under Marvel Films or Marvel Cinematic or whatever you want to call it, man, that it's like the little engine that won't die. Like, just Hitmonkey's still around. We talked briefly about it before, but they put a full trailer out for it. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this, man. It's about a monkey, a group of monkeys sees an assassin die, and one of them is smarter than the rest, and he becomes the assassin to finish, like, to basically avenge this guy, and the guy's ghost walks him through how everything works, and it looks okay. I don't know. I never was a huge Hitmonkey fan. I thought it was kind of a cool concept, you know, but that might just be because I'm a big Gorilla Grodd fan. I like smart monkeys, you know, because that's how I identify with them. I get think like I've learned to use tools. I don't know, man. I'm not. Yeah. I mean, even the trailer for this thing doesn't reek of laughter.
Like, no, I'm kinda it didn't look like it.
Okay. No. Yeah. So. I don't know. Are you going to watch this when it comes out?
Yeah, probably not, man. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm going to check it out.
Okay. It's coming soon too. I think it's before the end of the year. So yeah, I don't know. I may give it the couple episodes to see if it hooks me or not, but, it's cause I'm a sucker for comic books, man. Yeah. Like anything comic book related, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll check it out. Even though I don't know if I'm going to watch Naomi, have you heard or seen this? This was a DC fandom thing we kind of skipped over.
No.
Naomi, I think, is a character from DC Comics who is just a regular girl living in a superpowered world, you know? Like, and so they put out like a little short teaser type thing for this, and it's her with her little notebook writing about the world and how it's crazy and everything, and then we get a shadow of Superman flying over her or silhouette or something. But I'm just like, you tried to do this with Powerless, and that had people I really cared about, like, actor wise and I still, it was not good. And, like, you know, did you watch any of that show?
Refresh my memory on what it's about, because it's ringing a bell. But
so that was the one that had a great premise to start. It was supposed to be like The Office, but in a superhero world, in the DC world. And so it was supposed to be essentially a place that sold. I forget what the initial pitch was, because it changed right before it went to air. Like they did some reshoots and stuff and changed the premise of the show. So I think that originally it was supposed to be like they worked in an insurance company that sold superhero insurance, basically. Like, you know, like if Superman's fighting Bizarro and he punches him into the crust of the earth and it goes through your car, that's not covered by an act of God. So you have to have superhero insurance now to protect your valuables.
Right.
And that was what it was originally going to be, and it was touted as being very Office-like. Like,
okay, yeah, know, with this had Vanessa Hutchins in it. She was the lead.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and Alan Tudyk and Danny Pudi and Ron Funches and yeah, and then right at the last, like, kind of the not the 11th hour, maybe, but like certainly like 10:15, they changed the whole premise to. They made inventions. They were a tech company that made inventions to protect you from superpowered individuals. And Alan Tudyk was Bruce Wayne's cousin, and Bruce Wayne was bankrolling this thing, and none of them knew that he was Batman, and it wasn't good. Like, I wanted it to be so good. I love so many of those people that are in it, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I'll watch Alan Tudyk and Danny Pudi and Ron Funches in pretty much damn near anything.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember Vanessa Hudgens from Disney Channel, maybe? Yeah, I don't Disney, okay. Yeah. Okay. I just couldn't, man. I mean, I watched the whole, everything they released, but it wasn't good. So I don't know, man. I mean, they've done some interesting comics around this before. Marvel did one called The Marvels, I know, where it was like, how are you the cops in a city with superpowered people? You know, like, what the fuck do you do all day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things like that. Like, how are you, you know, how are you the fire department when the Human Torch is around? Like, it's like every time he gets in a fight, you're like, ah, shit. You know, like, but I think it works better in comic format than it might in live action, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the only way to do it, I think the insurance thing was a great idea for Powerless because mm-hmm. it's that it gives you that, like, we're all in this together sense of helplessness, you know, like all we can do is try to insure our car, you know, like it's going to get destroyed at some point because I work in Metropolis, you know, but, yeah, I feel like they took a wild turn there at the right before release and it didn't pay off. But
yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a coming. All right. So let's get into the news before we talk the trailer proper, little sizzle Uncharted. let's talk about the news from the past week. So there's been all kinds of things. Let's start with Marvel. Because they seem to be doing it right. Did you read anything about, I guess there's a new book that came out like in the last week or so. And I don't remember. I didn't look into it enough cause I'm not going to buy it, but it's, I don't know if it's by Amy Pascal or about Amy Pascal or about, I think it's about making Marvel movies. Like it's like how Marvel Cinematic Universe has grown and come to be and all this. And anyway, there's a part where they talk about how they pulled Spider-Man in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I think that's what it is. I think it's like making Marvel movies or something, but, did you read anything about this? There's an anecdote about Amy Pascal talking about when she met with Kevin Feige to actually pull Spider-Man into the MCU.
No.
It's a pretty entertaining story. They had a lunch meeting set up in her office, and she assumed that Kevin Feige was coming to talk to them to help, because he had been consulting with them on the previous Spider-Man movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she thought he was coming to talk to her about The Amazing Spider-Man 3. And he came in and instead said, why don't we stop that universe? And it's funny. I'm going to paraphrase here, but essentially what he said to her is, listen, you have a studio that's doing this right and we want to help. and he kind of was like, he likened them to how DC and Warner Brothers just gave Nolan Batman and said, run with it, do your thing. Right. And he's like, I'm not claiming that we're Christopher Nolan. He's like, but you have people who seem to be doing it pretty right. And she started crying because he's like, don't think of it as us trying to take the rights back from Sony. Don't think of it as, you know, you're handing anything over. He's like, you're basically just letting us make it to make it better. And she started crying and she said, she's like, I don't remember if I threw him out of my office or if I threw the last half of my sandwich at him, but that ended the conversation basically. And it wasn't till the next day that she was like, I thought about it all night and I was just so upset. And then I was like, we've made five of these now and we're not doing anything really new. And when we try to do new stuff, like with Spider-Man's parents being super spies or whatever, it's not good. So she was like, I called him back and we started discussing, you know, starting Spider-Man over and bringing him into the MCU. And I was like, that's really funny though. And she said, she's like, and I think everybody sees that with Feige. She's like, this is the guy that just sort of gets it, you know? I don't know if you've ever seen the list of notes he gave them from the Amazing Spider-Man 2 before it was released. Oh man, they're great. I have those pulled up. So have you seen the Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So tell me how many of these, really hit home. He's like, there are too many storylines. We need to choose which ones we're focusing on and lift the other ones out. Could cut out the plane crash and Richard destroying spiders and start on the armored car. Don't start with Spider-Man. Let the danger and stakes of New York build first and then have Spider-Man enter the scene heroically. He says, tone down Paul Giamatti's performance so he seems a bit more menacing and less cartoonish. If you cut Richard from the opening and the plane crash, maybe you could instead do Harry coming home and seeing Norman at the top of the movie as a cold open. He's like, I really love Electro, but it feels like you don't need the scene in his apartment, which makes him seem completely crazy and hard to relate to. Like the idea that eel goes in his mouth and instead of burrowing, you see it glow within him. Need to set up the power plant earlier visually. Seems like the movie switches point of views a lot. Why are we in Max's POV during the car chase? Worth looking at this plane out from Spidey's POV. There could be a better way to reveal that Peter is missing graduation. Maybe you cut to Gwen when you cut to the wide shot. There's a ton more. But it's the last one I love is he's like, don't show New Yorkers looting. Like, yeah, that's kind of bad that it's like, oh, the city's gone to shit. Steal what you can.
Now, I don't remember this movie well enough to remember how much of this remained in the movie.
All of it. They didn't take any of his. They didn't take any of his notes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, like he talks about how like there's a surveillance scene of guys following Peter around, and he's like, the surveillance scene should be about them following Harry, not Peter. Nobody should be following Peter. There's no reason. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so funny because his notes are all pretty much spot on, and then. They didn't use any of them, and I think it was for the detriment of the movie. So wow. I think that led to Pascal being like, oh, yeah, maybe he knows what the fuck he's talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought that was funny, though, that she threw a sandwich at him potentially.
That is funny.
That made me laugh, so. Let's see. Sticking with Spidey, Sony just dated release dates for a pair of mystery Marvel movies in 2023. Okay. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So let's see. They put June 23rd, 2023 as a Sony Marvel movie and October 6th, 2023. So a lot of people are pointing at the October 6th and like that's within a week or so of when both the other Venom movies have come out in October. So that's probably a good guess for Venom 3.
Hmm.
And I tend to agree. I don't know if June 23rd, I know there's talk of doing a Kraven the Hunter movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson, formerly Quicksilver in the MCU.
Yeah.
But there's talk about that. There's also, I know Olivia Wilde is making a Spider-Woman movie. Olivia Wilde formerly housing Jason Sudeikis's manhood. Now with Harry Styles, because why the fuck not? I'm sorry, I like Jason Sudeikis, so anytime somebody does something bad to him, I act like we're best buddies, like, she's dead to me. Like, I don't know, I've never met him. I mean, I hope he's a good guy. He seems like a good guy. I've heard Ted Lasso is fantastic, but I haven't watched any yet. But anyway, so we don't know what that other movie is going to be, or if it's going to be another Spidey movie. Probably not, because the Spidey movies tend to release around Christmas time.
I didn't know that.
Traditionally, yeah. So, but anyway, yeah. So two new Sony Spider related flicks coming, or Marvel related, but all they have the rights to are the Spider family, sort of. So, speaking of Spider-Man movie coming in December. Did you see the Empire magazine covers featuring Spider-Man No Way Home?
No, I did not.
So one of them is like a art artsy kaleidoscope effect. And so there's very clearly on that some black and green swirl with a sandy looking fist coming out of it. So people are like, oh, I think Empire just confirmed that Sandman is in this movie. There's also like circles kind of on the thing, but one of them has like a more bubble appearance with some highlight and stuff. So people are like, I think Mysterio's back, which would make me happy as a pig in shit. Because I like me some Jakey G. I like me some Mysterio. I like when the two are meshed together. So that'd be good. So yeah, it looks like Empire might be spoiling bits and pieces of the movie with their magazine cover, or they have no fucking idea and they're just putting out something that looks neat. So, yeah. So who knows? We've only got a couple months till we find out what's happening there. Let's see. Let's step over to the MCU proper. Remember Joss Whedon?
Oh, yeah. How's Joss doing these days?
I don't know. I'm sure he's probably screaming in the face of some production assistant or actress. Probably an actress, and telling her how he'll ruin her career if she doesn't bring him a sandwich or something. He seems to be a misogynistic fella. But it was released this week that in the 2012 movie The Avengers, Joss Whedon wanted to include the Wasp, and not Hope Van Dyne, but Janet Van Dyne, the original Wasp from the comics, and he wanted one Miss Zoe Deschanel to play her.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love me some Zoe Deschanel, so she had me at Elf and she kept me through New Girl, so I'm on board with her. I haven't watched Celebrity Dating Game or whatever the fuck she's hosting now, but...
Oh, yeah, I have, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, it's rough.
I bet it is. Michael Bolton is the other host, right?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Man, that's weird.
That's so odd to me. Like those two don't go together at all.
No, I feel like both of them probably have to down a bottle of wine before they get on stage.
Yeah, probably. That'd be like, let's make a new primetime sitcom, and it's gonna star, you know, Ed Begley Jr. and John Wayne Gacy. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But anyway, yeah, he wanted her to play Janet Van Dyne, and she was actually one of the central characters of the show, of the movie. Hmm. And yeah, I think it was one of the producers mentioned that. And then Whedon added at some point, I don't know when they talked to him, maybe he was like, listen, this happened, I'll ruin your career. Like, what are you talking about, Joss? But he said that he goes, we did a lot of stuff. He wrote a lot of stuff with the Wasp and he kind of fell in love with that, but because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get Scarlett Johansson for the movie. And he's like, but then we did get Scarlett, and I realized I had written this entire movie about the Wasp. Oops, I overcompensated there. Whatever. Like, dude, I mean, he's got a lot to overcompensate for. He's a balding ginger. So, you know. But it's cool, man. Everybody loved you in the 90s before we realized that you were mean to people constantly. Anyway. So there's a rumor doing the circuits also that there's a World War Hulk movie in active development.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would love that shit, man.
Really?
Did you ever read World War Hulk or anything about it?
No. I mean, I kind of have a vague idea of what it's about, but...
Yeah, it's like a world war around the Hulk. I'm sure we've mentioned it before, or I've mentioned it before, but Thor Ragnarok is not World War Hulk. What was the one before that? Oh my God. Why can I not remember this? Basically the Hulk Gladiator comic. So, let's see, hold on. Planet Hulk is what it was called. Yeah. So in the comic, Hulk goes nutso again and he destroys a bunch of shit. And then he calms down and he's like, I'm sorry. You know, Bruce Banner's like, I probably shouldn't have broke a bunch of stuff. I'm sorry. So the Illuminati confirmed in the comics, the Illuminati, who is made up of Tony Stark and Professor X and Black Bolt and Mr. Fantastic, and I can't remember if Hank Pym's in it. Probably not. Nobody likes Hank Pym. but anyway, they basically go, hey, Hulk, there's a spaceship adrift in the atmosphere, in outer space, and it's heading toward the atmosphere, and it's got some monstrous alien on it that is going to wreak havoc on the Earth. We need you to go up there and stop it, because you're the only one that can basically... The airlock's broken. You're the only one that, you know, like, space isn't going to freeze you to death. And even if you, like, can't breathe, like, you can kind of go without breathing for a while, because you're the fucking Hulk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce is like, yeah, send me up there. Well, they do. He dispatches of the thing. He gets back on the spaceship, and instead of it returning to Earth, it blasts him off. And they're like, sorry, Hulk, it's too dangerous to have you here. We all decided. And they shoot him at a planet that is uninhabited, where he can just live the rest of his days. They're like, it will support life. There's food available. But you'll be able to live there until you die. And I'm like, that's a pretty dick move. Yeah. But he ends up going through a black hole and ending up on Sakaar, and becomes a gladiator a la Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that happens in the comics. Well, in the comics, Korg and Meek, who we've seen in the movies, Rot Guy and Little Grub Guy,
mm-hmm.
Become friends of his, become allies. And it's great. It's a great read. I would recommend it for anybody. Meek starts as kind of this weaselly little, like, scaredy cat insect. And at one point, he molts into his adult form. And he's, like, got six arms. And he's, like, built like a brick shit house. And he's, like, he's fierce, you know? And so, anyway, then there's, I don't know, like, Hulk ends up, like, falling in love with another gladiator, and she's like, her skin can turn hard as rock or whatever, and she's like, they end up boning and all this. And anyway, he gets off the planet, but he comes back to Earth because she dies. Like I forget, the Illuminati sends something else out there, and it goes through the same black hole and ends up killing her, I think. Like, it hits the planet and kills her. So he's like, oh, fuck y'all, all y'all. So him and his gladiators come back to Earth, and he's just like, I'm back and I'm going to destroy everything. And so then the whole Marvel universe is like, we got to stop him. And then he just wrecks shit. Like Doctor Strange at one point, like, tries to, like, cast a spell, and Hulk leaps to him before he can finish the incantation and just grabs his hands and crushes them. I'm like powders his bones. And I'm fucking hell, man. Yeah. Like, shit like that. Like, he's wrecking people. Anyway, if they do a World War Hulk and tie any of that in, I'm on board. I think it'd be awesome. I am interested to see how far this goes beyond rumor, because unless they've reached some agreement, I think Universal still has distribution rights for all Hulk movies. So I don't know if that's the case, or maybe there's a statute of limitation on that, like the Fox and Sony stuff, and that's run out. I'm not sure, but anyway, let's see. Other Marvel news. What you know about Moondragon, Zach?
Nada. I can't say I've ever heard of Moondragon.
She's a bald lady.
Okay.
And she's cool. She's a cosmic entity who is adept at the ways of martial arts and has chi and all that stuff, but also is telepathic, I believe. And so she's a formidable foe. She's a hero. But Daniela Melchior, remember her? She's Ratcatcher 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. She posted on her Insta recently some videos, some behind-the-scene videos of her getting prepped for a role, and her hair is very short. And they seem to be... there's a bunch of, like, prosthetic stuff there to make, like, a body mold of her. Her hair's very short and she's wearing a bald cap. And so there's been speculation that maybe she's playing Moondragon in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Hmm.
Because it's a James Gunn joint. she worked with him. He said he really loved working with her, and he tends to keep around people he really loves working with, you know?
That's good.
So that's a rumor. That's a very like grain of salt rumor, but I wouldn't be mad at it, man. She's a good actor. And I don't know much about Moondragon, but I would be interested to see her tackle that role. Yeah, so that's most of the Marvel stuff we have. We do have one opinion that popped out this past week. Nia DaCosta, who directed Candyman and is currently in production on the movie The Marvels, mm-hmm. with Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and Spectrum, right? has a theory that she posited this week that Steve Rogers is directly responsible for Thanos' snap.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw something about this.
I don't understand this. She says something I like to say a bit flippantly. I mean, she's joking around, obviously, but about Captain America is that the snap is all his fault because he was trying to do his best, trying to do the right thing. There is a world in which he's a villain because at the end of the day, he should have just sacrificed Vision. He chose one robot's life, albeit a sentient one, over literally the entire universe. There's a sort of anti-hero in that, if you want to look at it through that lens. I don't get that, because Thanos was trying to get the stone to snap.
Uh-huh.
So I don't understand why... like, why Steve trying to protect it instead of just giving it to him... cause I don't know. I mean, part of me was like, has she watched the movie? Because maybe not. Maybe she hasn't. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, though. I'm sure there are all kinds of people yelling about her directing a movie now because hashtag not my director or whatever the fuck. So anyway. All right, man. Where do you want to go next? We've got potpourri news articles, and we've got one big juicy DC story.
Ooh, let's hear the juicy DC.
All right. Do you remember when Ruby Rose was Batwoman?
Boy, do I ever.
Do you remember how she left and decided not to be in it in season 2, or so we thought?
Okay. Yeah.
Did you see any of the stuff this week that she posted, or the WB and her co-stars and cast reaction to it?
No.
Oh, man. So Ruby Rose posted this week about how WB are awful people, how she very nearly was blinded on the set and injured multiple times. And a crew member got third-degree burns over most of their body, and the people that were around saw the skin, like, sloughing off of his face.
Ooh.
And how one of the production assistants ended up a quadriplegic. And okay. WB's not said anything about that. And so that's why she left, and she would never go back to that show, so everybody needs to stop asking her, because that place was a nightmare, right? And I was like, oh, shit. After the Ray Fisher stuff that we heard, I was like, oh, hashtag believe all actors, right?
Okay.
And so then about a day went by, and WB fired back and said, quote, despite the revisionist history that Ruby Rose is now sharing online aimed at the producers, the cast, and the crew, she also said that the crew wasn't treated well, but they also weren't great, and that her co-stars... especially Doug Gray Scott and who was the other one? Camrus Johnson, who plays Batwing, were both dicks. And like Doug Gray Scott was, she said, yelling like a little bitch at women on the set, and that Camrus Johnson had spread false information about her being difficult to work with on the set. Right. So anyway, WB said that, and then they said, the truth is that Warner Brothers Television had decided not to exercise its option to engage her for season 2 based on multiple complaints about workplace behavior that were extensively reviewed and handled privately out of respect for all concerned. And I was like, oh, well, WB, you don't have the best track record of going, nuh-uh. You know? But then we got other people weighing in. Camris Johnson, who plays Batwing, and he spoke out and he said on the Insta, on the Twitters, he said, "Batfam, you know I couldn't go the whole day without saying something. I love y'all. Don't think I haven't seen all the love today. But yeah, fam, she was fired. And it is very hard to be fired when you're the lead. Imagine what you have to do for that to happen." And he was like, "Since she claims she walked away last year, I'm sure some of you may be pretty confused or upset, and even more so that a lot of lies were spread today. Just know that we are a lot of great souls working on the show. None of this changes that from the top to the bottom. Love y'all, blah, blah, blah." Right? Then Doug Gray Scott responded, and he said, "I absolutely and completely refute the defamatory and damaging claims made against me by Ruby Rose. They are entirely made up and never happened. As Warner Brothers Television has stated, they decided not to exercise the option to engage Ruby for season 2 based on multiple complaints about her workplace behavior." Right?
Okay.
Then a production assistant responded. The production assistant who worked on season 1 and is also the CEO and founder of Constellate Films shared a lengthy statement with CBR, Comic Book Resources, I believe that is, and said, "Yeah, Rose stormed off the set. She yelled at people. And whenever she interacted with any of us production assistants, we were disregarded as the trash we picked up. One day at the studio, we spent the entire morning setting up her requested green room, 6 heaters because she was used to Australian hot weather, and a table full of snacks, only to have her show up, giggle, walk away, and say she was good. We chalked it up to another 'Ruby is just giving orders for the sake of giving orders' moment and moved on. Then, I was holding a door open for her after having worked over 15 hours at that point in the freezing cold weather, and she came billowing through the door that I just opened, and she spilled her food. She looked at it, then up at me and said, 'Well,' and then stormed off and left me to clean up her mess." And I was like, huh, like that's hard to refute when everybody's just like, "Nah, you're kind of an asshole." Like,
so what about all these like people who were horribly maimed and
that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Nobody has said that didn't happen. They're just all like, "Nah, she's an asshole." And then I'm like, yeah, but did people really get seriously injured on set? Cause if so, we need to talk about that. Cause that's right. Not okay.
Right.
You know, and I'm hoping that it comes to light, but part of me is thinking that WB will just use this opportunity of everybody saying they didn't like working with her to go, "Yeah, see, nobody likes her."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but what about the other stuff? Right. Nobody likes her. Right. You know, like, but what about the other stuff? Like, and then I imagined somebody from WB turning around and going, "Hey, if you were made quadriplegic on the set, raise your hand." See? Nobody.
That's awful.
So I'm interested to see what plays out with that. I did see that Ruby Rose was on a YouTube's video this week of playing D&D with Vin Diesel and his family. I haven't watched it, but I guess I kind of want to now to see if like at one point, if she like knocks over snacks or something and just stares at Vin Diesel until he picks it up. And then if so, I'll be like, #, believe no actors. If not, then I'll say #, believe all actors. Anyway, that's the big juicy DC story. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So, speaking of actors, you ever thought about murdering somebody on the set of a film?
Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
Yeah, man. How awful is that? Yeah. Alec Baldwin, beloved. I said maybe one of them said that, like, well, could we be, like, a little bit central, or maybe some right-wing ideas aren't that bad, and then he just shot him. He was like, bang, bang, bang! Fuck you, left is best! And then he just stormed off the set and knocked a tray of food out of Ruby Rose's hands. No, it's fucking awful though, man. I mean, the fact that this shit can still happen in today's modern age, mm-hmm, boggles my mind. You know, Like, I mean, I remember when this happened to Brandon Lee on the set of The Crow in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, even then, I was like, well, how the fuck does that happen? We're 30 years past that. How does that happen? you know? How is there a, like, because it wasn't even, in his case, it was that a blank, the round of the blank actually got jammed in the gun in Brandon Lee's case. And then the next blank, the propellant was enough to fire that that casing out. And that's what hit him. In this, there was a live round in the gun.
Right.
Why is there a live round in a gun on a movie set ever?
I feel bad for him because numerous people have come out and said that, like, he was told multiple times, or at least it was said verbally on the set, and other people witnessed it, that it was a cold gun and that, you know,
right,
everything was going to be fine. And he ended up killing somebody.
Right, right. He shot a second person. They were in critical condition last I read. Have you heard any updates?
No,
are they better?
No.
Yeah. On the set of the movie Rust, I believe. Is it a movie?
I don't know.
Rust is the name of the, it was on in a New Mexico set. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to find the name of the person who died, because Helena Hutchins. I don't know how you say her first name. I apologize, but, cinematographer. And then the director, Joel Souza, was the one that was shot and is in critical condition. Yeah. Yeah, so awful, man. Just sucks. Anytime anybody loses their life to gun violence is a tragedy, but especially when it's like quote unquote friendly fire on a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man. So anyway, and I can't even imagine what that does to you mentally as a person. You know, obviously somebody died, and that's the biggest, like, I hope everything's good with her family. And I hope that, I mean, not good, but obviously that nothing's going to be good for quite a while, but you know, good thoughts and prayers and all that good shit that I can do, because I can't really do much else, goes out to those people, because I hope that they can eventually find closure, but also to a lesser degree, like I can't imagine mentally what Mr. Alec Baldwin's going through. That sucks. So,
right.
And speedy recovery to Joel Souza also. Hopefully he's able to recover. Let's see. On a lighter but no less ridiculous note, Hayden Christensen is going to return as Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader for the Disney Plus show Ahsoka.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. What's that guy doing lately?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything.
I haven't either. Life as a House was the last thing I saw him in, and that was around the time that he was in the prequels.
Hmm.
And it's pretty good. He's good in it. So I was like, okay, he's not the problem. So, yeah, I'm interested to see him come back. I don't know that I would say excited, but I'm interested. So we've got that. And then last, but absolutely not least by any margin, in fact, many might say most newsworthy, is, have you heard that there's a Barbie movie a-coming?
I have heard there's a Barbie movie a-coming with Margot Robbie in it.
With Margot Robbie, which in and of itself is enough to make me go, yeah, man. But then, as if they couldn't perk my nips anymore, they rumored that they have cast all around cutie and my man crush Ryan Gosling to play Ken.
Yeah, I saw that.
What the hell, man? Could you imagine if those two had a baby? It would just be like perfection. Like, or it'd be one of those things where two really attractive people have just a fugly baby, you know? You're like, oh shit, are you holding that thing upside down? Looks like an asshole. but yeah, those two, man. I mean, I just I imagine that it would be like one of those sets where you can't make eye contact with them, not because it's some weird demand of theirs, but just because your face would melt off like Raiders of the Lost Ark, because so much just beauty and perfection would be emanating from the two of them. Anyway, I just, yeah. I saw that he was going to be in, and I was like, I may have to go see the Barbie movie. Like, there's a grown man here alone. I don't know that this is okay. I'm like, leave me alone. Sir, why are you in a trench coat? Don't worry about it. Anyway, shit. All right, let's talk about the main piece of this minisode, and that is the trailer for the upcoming Sony picture joint, Uncharted.
Unfarted.
Did you ever play any of the Uncharted games?
I haven't, no. It's a, PlayStation thing, isn't it?
It is. It's that a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah. Oh, you're an Xbox guy, huh?
No, I'm a Nintendo guy.
Oh, well, I knew that, but what about when you want to play not little kid games?
Oh,
Nintendo. They're grown-up games, like when you want to build a fake robot suit out of cardboard.
Oh,
it's a me. Sadness. Okay, so I am a Nintendo guy also, but when I do feel like I want to be a grown up for a little bit, I usually play PlayStation games. And that's mostly because the Xbox 360 sucks. And I haven't played, I fully admit I haven't played the Xbox One SX, whatever the new one is, you know. But if I'm going to be honest, I'm more excited about the KFC console than that thing. So, because I can keep chicken heated in there. But yeah, the Uncharted games are good. You know, I mean, they're the likable character. He's kind of a douche, likable in the fact of like, you know, he's kind of a doofy asshole, but you want him to do well, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. It's like when I look at my family. And so, but yeah, so we've got they've talked about making an Uncharted movie for quite a while now. At one point, everybody wanted Nathan Fillion to play Nathan Drake.
I heard that.
The main character. And that lets you know how long it's been going. Cause Nathan Fillion's 75 now or something. I mean, he's old. And then for a while, Mark Wahlberg was in the running to play Nathan Drake, and Mark Wahlberg kind of aged out of it a little bit as well. And then they were like, well, what if you play the old man Sully? And he's like, the guy that lands the plane on the Hudson? And it's like, no, the mustachioed man who is known for his mustache, his magnificent facial hair throughout the game series. And then we get a trailer and there's not a mustache follicle to be seen.
So yeah, I knew some of this.
Okay, I do think he will get the mustache eventually, because I remember that he posted a picture of him with a mustache at one point in the past couple years, and everybody was like, oh my God, you're going to have the mustache, and he was like, shut the fuck up, I hate it. But they've got little Tommy Hollins to play a young Nathan Drake. We watched the trailer. Gut reaction, what do you think about the trailer?
I mean, this looks like a movie.
Boy does it. I don't know, man. I actually am kind of interested in this.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, they took some of the beats from the game, so like I think it's in the third game where you fall out of a plane and there are boxes like trailing on a net and you're like kind of leapfrogging your way back toward the plane.
Sure.
And that's right in the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get to see little Tommy Hollins mixing up a drink behind a bar, which is weird because he doesn't look like he's old enough to have a drink, but right. He's bartending.
Right.
And he's like, you know, and he's from England, so I can only assume that it's like Guinness and spit that he's mixing up back there, as is most of their cuisine. He's just like shaking it all around like Tom Cruise. He's like, fancy a point, lad. Everybody's like, what? It's got some good quips, though. The game is sort of known for Sully and Nathan Drake kind of quipping at each other. And, you know, like, they're old pals. So, you know how you make fun of your old pals. And so there's a little bit of that early on when he's like, are you old enough to bar? Or aren't you a little young to be a bartender? And he's like, aren't you a little old for prom? You know, and I was like, is he bartending at prom? Where is this? Like, East L.A.? Like, these are all child actors. They need to have addiction issues before they're 20. looking at you, Drew Barrymore. She's still alive. I should have said Judy Garland.
She is. She's got a talk show now.
She does. Not Judy Garland. She's dead, dead.
No, she's
but,
dead.
She's very dead. Had somewhere everywhere, there's a bunch of little, little people that are descendants from the Munchkins going, oh, like, I still put my hand up her skirt. Like, no, no, no. She's very dead. We're talking about Drew Barrymore. Like, can I put my hand up her skirt? And we're like, go away. But I don't bloody blame you, right? I mean, Drew Barrymore's still a very pretty lady. Addiction issues aside in the past, she seems clean and sober now and seems to be in a delight. I've not watched her talk show because it's a talk show, but yeah,
that's all right.
It's
a talk
show. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a talk show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how most of them are. Like, unless it's Ellen verbally assaulting production assistants, I don't need to know about it. Yeah. Oh my God. What if we made a movie with Ellen and Ruby Rose and it was directed by Joss Whedon?
Oh my God.
Oh, that, I was going to say Scream is already taken as a title though. but anyway, yeah, we get Nathan Drake's kind of become infamous in the games for whenever things start to take a turn. He kind of always goes, oh crap. And we get that at the end of the trailer where the car bowls over a young Nathan coming out of the back of the same plane, you know?
Yeah.
This movie has Antonio Banderas in it as well.
Yes, it does.
I tried to sound like a Hispanic weather person who, when they say their hometown, that's the only time they break out of the Midwestern accent. You know, I am from the small town of Chihuahua. Like, what are you talking about? but yeah, Antonio Banderas is in it. He's usually fairly solid, you know. Yeah, man, I'm in for this. I think it's going to be good. It's got that. I think if any video game could be made into a movie sort of successfully without a lot of transition or a lot of updating or kind of trying to rewrite the story to fit a movie structure, Uncharted is probably one of them because it's very Tomb Raider-like. It's action adventure, you know,
right.
Although they've butchered that twice, so... I haven't seen the new one, though. The new Tomb Raider. Was it any good?
Either.
Do you know?
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
The Alicia Vikander, I believe. Yeah, I haven't seen that. So I'm hoping that one's good. At some point I'll watch it. But I'm hoping this is going to be good, man. I think it has the potential to be. I mean, you've got Mark Wahlberg, who kind of oozes charisma. And if they try to wreck that plane into anywhere, as long as he's on board, he'll stop it. So, got him. And then you've got Tom Holland, who has kind of become America's sweetheart, even though he's British. And I watch that guy in anything, man. I haven't seen Cherry yet. I want to see that, but I did see The Devil All the Time, or Devil All the Time, and he's good in that. So
that's good.
Yeah. So I'm here for it, man. I'm here for Uncharted.
Unfarted.
Unfarted. Unfarted just means constipated, right? Like, I'm holding it in. Or first date. They should just call it first date.
First date. There you go.
Unfarted.
I had that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Then as soon as you drop them off and you get back in your car, you hotbox yourself the whole way home, and you walk in and you family's like, were you at a sewage plant? And you're like, no, sitting in my own musk for 15 miles. Musk. Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to claim that my underwear are clean because they're probably not. But, or it's just seeping out my pores because I held it in for so long. But yeah. So anyway, I don't know, man. Do you think there's anything that could make you excited for this?
I don't know. I'm not really big into the action adventure movies like this. It just reminds me too much of Tomb Raider, and Tomb Raider was kind of a...
Yeah, not great. So. The
although,
old ones.
Although I do really have a soft spot for the old Indiana Jones ones, so...
That's true, man. I love me some old indie. And this kind of feels like that a little bit.
Yeah.
As long as they stick with the kind of the, there's a sort of schlockiness. One of the things I saw, Eric Voss on New Rockstars mention, and I tend to agree, is he's like, those old action adventure movies weren't really scared to go dark. You know, he's like, you think about it, like there's people getting their hearts ripped out and people's faces melting and all that. And he's like, if this does something like that, I think that it would give it some weight that a lot of video game based movies don't have.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. If it had some kind of weird supernatural element to it, I think I'd be in.
Which the Uncharted games do occasionally.
That's cool.
They actually do have some weird like zombie type stuff in one, which I know you love zombies, but, and there's some super vaguely supernatural stuff happening in them. So
that's cool.
I think they could do that. Yeah. I think they could do that and kind of get us back there, you know, but I don't know, man. I'm in for it. We'll see. I can't remember. Do you remember when it comes out?
No, I don't remember.
I'm gonna look real quick so that we can actually say that. Uncharted. No, there it is. Okay, 2022 doesn't help me. Do we have a release date? I thought we did. It says expected in February because it's in post-production currently, but we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, man, I'm down for it. So Uncharted, keep your eyes out. All right. You got anything else, man? Any other news or trailer tidbits or anything?
Not from me.
Yeah, I got nothing else, man. I think I kind of blew the whole wad of everything I had for this. So, all right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.